then utilize that space during times it's not used by residents?
I think if you are required to provide the parking, then you're not allowed to then lease it to other users. It would be if you had built excess parking, more than you were required to have, then you could.
Joe, I'm now confused.
I am confused too. I apologize.
That's why I think we should have this go to further consideration. Or Phil has some comments first. Is this required parking accessory parking or not?
Basically, if you look at the original handout, it does say that it's joint use of the required parking. So you can propose parking that would be required to be jointly used by other uses. But then you have to go through the study that shows that these uses are rented to people who commute. And so between the hours of 10 and 5, we can use it for the bank building in the ground floor. So it's more along those things. So you have to run a study to do that.
But isn't that exactly what we're trying to promote?
It is.
Full utilization. And if it turns out during work hours that there's vacant space that can be used with the grocery store next door, that's not a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. So it was the description I gave is how it actually works. So that's actually adds some flexibility to increase the use of whatever parking you end up building. And it creates an income stream.
Currently, it does not apply to residential. You can't use it for residential uses. It's only amongst non-residential uses. Yeah. Okay. So the original PSC was to expand it to residential uses.
So to preserve that opportunity for joint use, we should not approve the amendment, correct?
Correct. And at the end of all of this discussion of amendments, you should move the PSC recommendation as amended,
yes.
And this will still be in there.
Okay, so we'll still take a roll call on that amendment.
So what does it mean? What would it mean then by the uses and housing types to which the parking is accessory is allowed? How would this be accessory parking? Isn't it? My understanding of this amendment was that the off-site joint shared use parking spaces would be allowed.
I think the idea was we didn't necessarily want residential parking to be used in a joint parking agreement with commercial parking. Say, for example, if they were using this in an R1 zone, we didn't necessarily want somebody to be able to put commercial parking into the where the residential parking is being used as accessory. Let me just read this again. I think the idea is that, we're trying to identify the parking as accessory to the use that it was built for, as opposed to a commercial parking lot.
But it doesn't make any sense if it's the residential lot.
I think what it's saying is that you both uses have to be allowed in that zone.
Yeah,
so you couldn't put it in single dwelling.
It may be a little bit convoluted, but yeah, the idea was that the idea is that you wanted both uses to be allowed where the joint parking is. So for example, if an apartment building is built in an R1 zone and they want to rent the parking to the bank down the street that's in a commercial zone, that bank wouldn't be allowed in that R1 zone. So you
It would or would it. Not be allowed?
It would not be allowed. So since the bank wouldn't be allowed, you can't have the accessory parking for that bank apply to that. So that was where the accessory parking term came from.
It's confusing because you're thinking accessory uses that aren't the primary use.
Some of these zones, both residential and commercial is allowed on the site because they're CS or CM
Correct.
Zones.
Right.
So, the Correct.
So what it would be saying is that the residential, the lots which are required because it's residential could be used by the commercial uses.
If you can prove that it works in terms of meeting the peak demand of your residential uses, which would, depend on the commute patterns, but you have to do a study to be able to show that.
Okay, then I withdraw this amendment.
Okay. Thank that you. Amendment's
Thank
withdrawn,
you.
And we'll move on to number four. No, sorry.
Number 4C?
4C,
which is the one I think we can all agree on, because I think the Planning Sustainability Commission also wanted us to continue discussion of this whole item as part of the comprehensive plan, but particularly the shared use and joint use. It's something that's come up on multiple different projects.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call on that.
4C. This is 4C?
Yes.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Item five is the purpose statement, which we were just about to discuss and see if anybody has good language.
Well, the Planning Sustainability Commission does have a purpose statement that they're recommending, and
they do, and that's what's shown on page six. It includes an amendment that was proposed by Commissioner Fritz that we amended, that you all suggested, striking the word on-street in the, when we introduced this earlier. So the new language would read, multi-dwelling development that includes a large number of units may require some parking to ensure there is an adequate supply of parking for existing and future uses in the area and to provide necessary and adequate parking for residents and guests, especially those with disabilities.
So you're, that's acceptable to the commission?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What we're trying to do now is
add the sentence about curb cuts, and they're going to
environment.
So they're going to do it on the fly. So maybe we should go to number six while that language is still being.
All right, while they're drafting away over
while
there.
They're drafting away. In real time.
Pick up number six.
This is one that has been reviewed by Planning and Sustainability and the Bureau of Development Services, and it basically corrects the language so that you don't have to have an entrance for every residential use on the commercial on the transit street, just at least one per commercial use.
Commissioner Fritz, my understanding is that I've received emails and letters and stuff. This appears to have some support in the neighborhood. Strong support of the city, and the developer's representative has said that he supports it. So this may be unique among our amendments tonight.
Correct.
Okay. Further discussion?
We did not look at it.
Roll call.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm not sure there's unanimity in the neighborhood on this, but I do note that this issue was not addressed by the Planning and Sustainability Commission.
Right. Correct.
It does seem to be makes sense to me, so I will vote to support this. However, I do want to say that I am not supporting attaching emergency clauses now or next week to any of this, so everybody has to live by the same standard. Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, making sure there are commercial uses on the ground floor of mixed-use buildings in commercial zones is what we intended all along. Aye. Okay. Now can we go back to number five?
I can make a long speech, Mayor, if you'd be entertaining.
I don't know if any of us is capable of a long speech.
Can I make a short speech? Because everybody else
made a short speech. Commissioner Fritz, most welcome.
What? Did you give the speech about your upbringing in England? Start with that.
I hadn't thought of going back that far, but maybe I will, although
it's like
they're ready.
We're showing real-time Bureau cooperation here.
Indeed,
there's not
so.
A filibuster tradition in this room, and that's a good thing.
Having grown up in England, where currently my brother is on the Planning Commission type thing at the end of the tube outside of London, they require one parking space per unit in both public and private developments. And as I circulated to folks, if places like Barcelona and Antwerp and others require one parking space, even in their central business core, it doesn't seem like we are completely busting open everything we hold dear to require up to a third of the units to have parking. This is a sensible set of things, which I appreciate the staff having acted on expeditiously. I also especially appreciate having served under now two mayors who are passionate about planning, who understand that planning is an evolving thing. You don't just set things in stone for centuries, even in England where things actually were built in stone, that you continually look back and see, what did we do? Does it make sense now? Do we need to amend it slightly? And that, to me, is part of the joy of it. This has been a very wonderful hearing with lots of folks focused on the issues. A lot of good testimony up till now, a lot of public engagement, and as you've heard, council members who are willing to listen and amend our views as we speak. So it absolutely proves that somebody can come to the last hearing after a one-year process and make some changes that make sense. So I appreciate this whole process.
Mayor, may I also make a comment
Please.
While we're waiting? We're now in our fifth hour and 15 minutes, so I want to thank the people in the chambers who've stuck with us all day. and have testified and helped shape this. I want to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff and commission members who have spent a lot of time with the folks up here helping us understand these issues at a deeper level and shaping our amendments. I want to thank my colleagues for the process we've gone through, which has been very collaborative with a lot of great ideas back and forth. And frankly, Mayor, I think you get a lot of credit because my sense is on this and a number of other issues, you've loosened the reins a little bit. And you've allowed us to do more of our work in public, which as I, you know, just in terms of my own view of things, while sometimes that causes people to think that democracy is a little messier than it really is, I think in terms of establishing long-term trust, it's always better for us to do our work in public and to have these conversations so people can see how we arrive at our decisions, whether they agree or not. And frankly, one of the things I love about Portland is I've rarely had someone be so upset with me that it severed a relationship because they disagreed with some single action I took. But there is real damage done when people think that the action was taken without an adequate process, a hearing, or people getting a chance to weigh in. So I appreciate the way you've structured this that allowed us to do a lot of hard work in a public setting. And I appreciate the way this council is coming together around tough issues. So thank you.
I think we extra credit for the citizens that stuck through this hearing. So thank you for being here. Thank you for that point, Commissioner Fish. I do think this planning process has to be open. It has to be open at the Planning and Sustainability Commission, where we have volunteers in addition to our staff who conduct long hearings and try to get through this iterative process of making a plan and a code work. And it does have to be an iterative process, and it also has to be public. We don't own this building. We don't own this plan. We don't own this code. Everybody does. So I think that's the spirit that we've tried to take up this thorny set of issues with, and we'll do that again.
Did just have a realization that you did ask us to draft an amendment related to the reuse of historic buildings. We do not have the language for that now either.
So would you like to have a little more time?
We're happy to give you what we just did now, but we're bringing something back still for you next time.
So let me just check with the city attorney. We can adopt this package as is and then bring back a separate ordinance to amend it to, or would we have to go back to the Planning Commission if we did that?
I'm sorry, you're talking about bringing back a separate ordinance?
If we bifurcated this issue and took it out so we could come back next week and vote on this, can we do that without having to go back to the commission?
I think you probably, since you have to come back with one amendment next week anyway, I think it would be simpler if...
No, we're not coming back with an amendment.
Yes,
we have
to
come back with a historic...
What Commissioner Fish and I are suggesting is that if that will delay it another week, we would prefer to...
It would delay it another week unless you add an emergency clause next week.
Okay, and the mayor is going to send Commissioner.
No, that's not my question.
For next Wednesday,
that's not my question. Having had a public hearing, mm-hmm. having sent it to the Planning Commission with due notice, 45 days and such, mm-hmm. can we then say that this item on the historic resources, could we add a second ordinance at a future date without having to go back to the Planning Commission?
Normally, you give us broad license on these things. What's the hesitation?
Sure, you can give it a shot.
that's advice.
So can I make another suggestion?
We have language, too, so we can get this one in tonight if you'd like to.
I think we've accomplished something else here. In all the years I've heard, Catherine, I've never heard you give a response like that.
Me neither. Yay!
Back pain.
Why don't we put placeholder language in and then figure out what we're going to do next week?
What do you got for us?
Yeah, I think that's a better solution. Let's adopt what you've got.
Okay. What we would do is after the sentence that was already inserted, we would insert this sentence. It would say, balance parking requirements with an active pedestrian environment and the need to minimize pedestrian and vehicle conflicts as much as possible.
So moved.
Elegant.
Yay.
Don't lose that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. It's the only copy.
Okay.
You do some of your best work between 7 and 8.
A proposal to amend the current language in item number 5. Let's
Correct.
Take action on that amendment first. Roll call.
Fish?
Thank you for your good work in this. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Aye.
Novick?
Thank you. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Novick, for raising this and for staff for a very rapid response, and I appreciate the cross-bureau collaboration there. Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
And on item 5, as amended.
Oh, right, to amend it and then amend it again.
All right.
Number 5.
Your Honor, I'm impressed.
Fish?
I neglected to thank, actually, Steve, because you were the one who started the ball rolling on this, so thank you, and appreciate the work. Aye.
Novick?
I appreciate people thanking me rather than cursing at me for raising it in the middle of this hearing. Aye.
Fritz?
I need to thank my chief of staff, Tom Bazot, who has been doing an amazing amount of work on this for the last several weeks and who has been very instrumental in getting to where we are. Aye.
Will you yield on that moment? You've shamed me. And I since Sonia Schmansky has done extraordinary yeoman's work, a young woman in my staff, could I also acknowledge her and thank her for her service?
Hales.
And I'll do the same to Josh Alpert and my staff who've worked hard on this. Aye. Now, I believe a motion to
and that's the second reason.
To bring, do we need a motion to incorporate here?
No, you've adopted all the amendments.
So now,
when you passed a second reading.
Now
yes.
the ordinance as amended by council action today passes to second reading.
Correct.
Next week. Correct?
Correct.
So move, no motion necessary. We move to second reading.
And just with the city council clerk, we have a date of next Wednesday.
April 10th at 2 p.m. time certain.
For second reading.
Now, I think are there any other points of explanation? I think there are people here who are still expecting that we might take action on an emergency clause. Commissioner Saltzman has already indicated he's unwilling to do that. I think there are other members of the council who are unwilling as well. So wanted you to know that that has been considered, but that's not going to be, I don't believe, proposed because we do not have a majority of the council that wants to adopt an emergency clause.
Mr. Mayor, may I comment on that?
Sorry, today, yes.
And I want to make a comment on that partly because I'm going to be out of town next week. I know that there's people, particularly in the 37th Division neighborhood, who will feel really distressed by this because they will feel that the council acted today to address a concern that they raised and the building they're concerned about isn't going to be addressed. And I hear that complaint. I fervently hope that to the extent that the neighborhood has concerns about parking, that can be addressed by a process with PBOT where we adopt a parking permit district that can ensure that people who are worried that they're going to have to lug their toddlers and their groceries 4 blocks every time they come home from grocery shopping will, in fact, have a place to park. And PBOT has said that it is possible to do a mini parking permit district that can achieve those goals. Donald Shoup, the author of the previously displayed book, The High Cost of Free Parking, actually had an op-ed in the Oregonian a few weeks ago suggesting such an option, and I really hope that option will be considered. There's a couple of reasons why I did not propose adopting this as an emergency ordinance. One is that there is a risk of litigation, and the city would be at legal risk. And let's say that the city stood a chance of losing $200,000 or $300,000. We are making decisions in this budget about cutting programs that are in that price range that are important. We're talking about cutting women's winter shelter for homeless women. I think the price tag on that was like $275,000. We're talking about eliminating funding for the Buckman Pool and cutting back the Selwood Community Center. Those are like $60,000 to $90,000 items. So we had to weigh the possibility of closing, making further cuts to pools and community centers and homeless shelters against an argument over what could have been 20 parking spaces. So that's one of the things we had to weigh. The other thing that we had to weigh is that the city gave a developer a permit who started building under the old rules, and the permit was reversed by LUBA on grounds that didn't have anything to do with parking. And we've had a number of developers today testify that to apply the new rules to that old situation would set a bad precedent. And I think that ultimately I come down that even cranky developers deserve some form of fair play. So I really, really hope that the neighborhood's concerns about parking can be addressed in the parking permit process. I understand there's going to be a lot of frustration, but there were reasons why the council didn't move to adopt an emergency ordinance. Thank you.
If I might comment on that, thank you, Commissioner Novick. That was an eloquent discussion of the issues. This is a legislative process, and I thank the neighbors for getting this here as expeditious as possible. I thank the Planning and Sustainability Commission and the Bureau, who have done heroic work to look at the issues carefully and get it to us expeditiously. But it's not a quasi-judicial land use appeal hearing. We didn't state on the record at the beginning of this that who we had talked to in relation to, say, 37th and Division. I was thinking that had I been asked to do that, it might have been quicker to say who I have not talked to in relation to 3rd and 7th and Division, because we've received hundreds of emails and lots of contacts. So it's very important that this, what we're doing today and what we'll vote on next week, is a legislative process to fix it for the next person, for the next set of neighbors who will not be faced with an 80-unit development without any parking on these streets once this is passed. So thank you for doing that, and I concur with Commissioner Novick's thinking on it. I am interested in that particular development and in all others encouraging commercial on the ground floor. And I know that that development, because LUBA reversed, it's going to be going through a full application process. There is a mandatory meeting with the neighborhood next week. And so there's still an opportunity for conversation with the developer, and I'm hoping that there will be some more give and take so that we could do something expeditiously that would allow there to be commercial on the ground floor, which I think many of the neighbors I've heard from would prefer rather than residential. And I think there's still an opening for us to do that next week in terms of the timing of adoption of various pieces of this ordinance. So I thought before this hearing that probably nobody would be going home completely satisfied, and I think I'm probably correct in that assumption, although I personally feel very gratified to have been part of this process and to have had this thoughtful and uplifting discussion about who are we and who do we want to be and how do we want to get there.
Great. Thank you.
I think they both said it better than I could. Just I'll only add that it is my hope that if following the Monday evening meeting, there is a consensus about having a Sixth Amendment apply to this permit application, that the council can come up with a reasonable approach that would make that applicable to this development.
I agree with
that.
Thank you. Thank you. And we are adjourned. Everybody?
Oh, you are?
Marathon?
No, I was.
Oh, I keep them. Is that my name?